In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Happy and blessed fast of the Holy Theotokos. It is my honor and my blessing to come every single year. The fathers are very, very kind in always giving me the blessing of being able to come and take the blessing of this blessed church, the parish, and of course the Holy Mother, St. Mary, who is very, very dear to me. If only she would help me in connecting this iPad, this would be a great help. If she could just send me one of her deacons, that would be... I was granted the blessing of being able to reflect with all of you today on the first stanza of the Thursday Theotokeion. So let's first agree on a few things before we move forward. Before we talk about the stanzas of the Theotokeia that is said on the eve of Thursday, the Church is always trying to teach you and me that there is an importance in remembering who Jesus Christ is. The whole purpose behind the praises that we pray, many people think that the focus is just to talk about the Holy Mother. But there is something very special about the Holy Mother that we all have to understand. She is not interested in us. Thank you. She is not interested in us speaking about her alone. She is always interested in pointing back to her Son. She is always interested in us remembering Him when we remember her. This is why when you study the different Theotokeias and the praises of the Church, especially in the Orthodox Church that we belong to, everything we say about the Holy Mother is never separated from what we believe about who Jesus Christ is. So the study of who Jesus Christ is, the Church tells us, this is called Christology. Why? Because even in the time of Jesus, one of the most important questions that He asked His disciples was what? Who do men say what? That I am. Who do men say that I am? And that question is still extremely important today. And one of the main purposes of the Holy Mother, of St. Mary, is to constantly point back to her Son to tell us who He truly is. That's why one of the most glorious titles that we can give to her is that she is the mother of what? The mother of God. I want to tell you that there was a time when the Church, some people said, don't call her the mother of God, call her the mother of Jesus. Call her the mother of Christ. But don't call her the mother of God. Now some of us would hear this and say what? At the end of the day, mother of Jesus, mother of Christ, the mother of God, man, we all believe in the same thing, but that's the problem. The Church never actually believed in this idea that she could have a title other than what? That she is Theotokos, the one who carries the Theos. Theos is the same word that we use every time we say what? Agios or Theos. The word Theos is God. She has to be the bearer of God. We can't just say that she is the bearer of Christ. Why? Because some people wanted to believe that Christ was nothing more than a human being who was very special, but He was a human being. He wasn't the one who was God who became man. He wasn't God who entered into the world and took on flesh and became fully human. And so people were afraid of giving the title of God to the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they wanted to call her what? The mother of the man. The mother of Jesus Christ. The mother of Jesus of Nazareth. But to give her the title of Theotokos was very scary for some people. But our Church insists. And we say, no, whenever we speak of her, we're going to call her what? The mother of the one who is both God and man in a perfect unity, in a perfect mystery. So whenever you study the Theotokeias of the Church, it is always pointing back to what? Her and her Son who is perfectly human and perfectly divine at the same time. So today when we look at these stanzas that we're going to look at together, I want you to pay attention to how it is that you can never dissect her from her Son. Whenever you speak of her, you always remember her Son. And whenever you remember her Son who became perfectly human, you have to remember that He took His humanity from who? From His mother, the Holy Virgin Mary. There is this incredible, incredible relationship that exists between the both of them. So in the Theotokeias of the Church, they are never separated. So look at the beauty of the Thursday Theotokeia that we're going to look at together. We'll read the words, and then I'm going to encourage you to say it with me in the tune that the church has given to us. Khalas? What are the words? It begins by reflecting on her being a symbol of the burning bush that Moses saw in the wilderness. So the words say, the bush which Moses has seen in the wilderness and the fire that was in it did not burn its branches. What about the bush? The bush is a symbol of Mary, the undefiled virgin, which the word of the Father came and took flesh from her. The fire of his divinity did not burn the womb of the virgin. And after she gave birth to him, she remained a virgin. And then we say the refrain, he did not cease to be divine. He came and became the Son of Man, for he is the true God who came and saved us. Now I want you to pay attention. Look at the four stanzas. In every one of them, we see her, and we see her point back to Jesus. The bush which Moses saw was seen in the wilderness, and the fire that was in it did not burn the branches. But immediately you're going to tell me, where is Mary and where is Jesus? Now you're about to find out why. The fire that was in the bush is the very divinity of Christ that entered into the womb of Mary, by which she conceived and gave birth to a perfect human being who was also God. This symbol is of Mary, the undefiled virgin, which the word of the Father came and took flesh from her. Both of them are found in the stanza. The fire of his divinity did not burn her womb. We see the both of them together. Please, say it with me and praise this with me. We're going to say it just once, and then we're going to actually get into today's reflection and today's meditation. The bush which Moses has seen in the wilderness, and the fire that was in it did not burn its branches. This is a symbol of Mary, the undefiled virgin, which the word of the Father came and took flesh from her. The fire of his divinity did not burn the womb of the virgin, and after she gave birth to him, she remained a virgin. He did not cease to be divine. He came and became the Son of Man, for he is the true God who came and saved us. For us to reflect back and to think about how she is the burning bush, let's go back to the actual story in Exodus chapter 3. And you're going to very quickly realize that we are supposed to reflect back every time we think of the burning bush. We are supposed to think about how it is that the Lord was showing something to Moses that we would understand thousands of years later. Thousands of years after Moses, we would understand the mystery of what it meant for Moses to encounter not only the symbol of Christ who would become fully human, but also the means by which he would going to be incarnate. He got to see the foreshadowing of who was going to be the Holy Virgin Mother. So let's study Exodus chapter 3 together. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, and his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb in the mountain of God. Now remember, Moses at this point in time, he spent 40 years in Egypt. He grew up in Egypt. He learned the wisdom of Egypt. He was successful in Egypt. He had a very privileged position of being the adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh. He had the most luxurious of life. He had the greatest education. He benefited of all the wealth of Egypt because he was in the house of the family of Pharaoh. And when the Lord touched Moses' heart, we know the story of what happens to Moses. In defending one of the brethren of the people of Israel, he kills one of the Egyptian guards. He is exposed, and in fear he runs away. It is there that he enters into the wilderness, and he meets the family of Jethro, and he marries his wife Zipporah. He goes from being a prince in the palace of Pharaoh to suddenly becoming a shepherd in the wilderness. And when the Lord had allowed him to spend 40 years in Egypt, very spoiled, very comfortable, he then allows him to spend 40 years in the desert. The number 40 is very important for Moses. It's actually very important for us as well. But he spends 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, and then he spends 40 years in the wilderness before God calls him and tells him, I will send you back to Egypt. So now this is towards the end of those 40 years. He lives as a humble shepherd, and he's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he's taking them on the mountain of God, and he came to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now pay attention to how it says the angel of the Lord. And the Bible will intentionally, in Scripture, capitalize the letters angel and Lord. For us to know that when we speak of the angel of the Lord, what we are really saying is what? That he, this was how he received the message. Khudubalku in the kilmet angel is also the meaning of the word a messenger. Angelos is one who carries a message. The one who carries the message of the Lord is either an angel, the way we imagine Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Raphael, all of the heavenly angels. But whenever it is capitalized in this way, we believe that it is the very manifestation of God Himself who gives the message. So when it says the angel of the Lord and it's capitalized, we know it is the Lord Himself who is manifesting Himself in this way. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Now, it's not uncommon for a shepherd to be taking care of his sheep. And as he's going into the mountains, he sees what is in nature. He sees bushes, he sees trees, he sees the mountain, he sees the desert, he sees all of it. But he sees from afar off a specific bush, and you have to understand, a bush is a very humble plant. A bush is not this big mammoth tree by which you can hide under to receive shade. A bush is not even growing any other form of life. It's just there, humbly existing on its own. And if you're walking through a desert, it's not something that catches your attention. It is very humble and secluded and isolated, and it's almost out of place. Remember, everything we're describing is going to apply to the Holy Virgin Mother in just a second. But he sees that this bush is completely engulfed with fire. Now, for those of you who have bushes at home, a small, tiny little bush that is completely dry and it's not producing necessarily any fruit, this bush, because of the dryness of its branches and its leaves, what should the fire do to it? Completely consume it. The bush doesn't stand a chance. With the rage and the anger of the fire should be able to completely destroy this bush in minutes. In minutes, it would be nothing but ashes. But Moses stares at the bush and he notices it's on fire. But the bush is capable of withstanding the power of the fire. It's not being consumed. So listen to what Moses does, because this is what we are supposed to do when the Lord decides to send us a message through the person of his mother. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn. I will turn aside. Moses doesn't continue on his path. He doesn't continue with the routine he has built with the sheep. He doesn't think to himself, I have to finish what I started with the sheep. They have to go get water, they have to be fed, and then I'm going to take them back to Jethro's camp. He doesn't think to himself, I do this route several times a day with the sheep. There is nothing special and he can ignore it. He doesn't assume that it's simply going to burn and he's going to forget about it. He stops and he says, I will stop everything. I will turn aside and I will see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. I want to tell you that I feel like there are so many of our brothers and sisters who declare themselves to be Christian, but who do not receive the Holy Virgin St. Mary as their own mother. And I feel like what they are doing is the complete opposite of Moses. The Scripture testifies of her. The Scripture tells us that she is our mother, given to us as a gift. When the Lord on the cross looks at Mary and he tells her what? Behold your son. In John is all of humanity. All of humanity is in the person of John at the cross. He looks at John as he looks at every human being and he tells him what? Behold your mother. My mother is your mother. You will now receive her as your mother. And you will understand the meaning of her motherhood in due time. And then he turns to St. Mary and he tells her what? Woman, behold your son. And in that moment, in the person of John, St. Mary accepts to be the mother of all of humanity. On the cross, the Lord tells her, they will be your children, and you will be their mother. But what happens to my brothers and sisters who refuse to see her as anything special? Who refuse to see that she has a calling to be the mother of all? They become like those who, unlike Moses, see the burning bush and continue walking. See the burning bush and ignore the great sight that Moses sees. They ignore the miracle of what it means for her to have had the fire inside her and it did not consume her. They reject the gift of her motherhood and they reject the command of receiving her as her mother. Moses stops everything and he says what? I will turn aside. Which is something that you and me should stop and think about. Why wouldn't Moses just continue? Khudubanku, Moses is not young. 40 sana fi Masr. 40 sana fi al-Baghayah. We're talking about someone who has 80 sana. We're talking about someone who is well advanced in age. He could have easily said, khalini bas awsal. Let me finish my destination. Let me finish my journey. I'm probably very tired. He stops and he says, I have to pay attention to this. I have to pay attention to what this sight is that the Lord is trying to reveal to me. But here's what's interesting. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame. But he hadn't spoken to Moses yet. When did the Lord start speaking to Moses? When he stopped and he approached the bush. When he turned aside and he approached the bush. Only then does the Lord start to speak to him. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. Only when he turned aside. وانا وانتو للأسف للأسف بنتعامل مع ربنا بطريقة اللي هو ايه معلش يا رب استحملني انا مش فاضي فايه هكلمك كده عجالي. I'm going to speak to you while I'm on the run. I'm going to multitask and find a way to be able to involve you. I'll speak to you as I'm driving. I'll speak to you. I'll say my prayers as I brush my teeth. I'll recite the Thanksgiving prayer as I'm in the shower. As I'm putting the food away and putting the kids to sleep, I'll say our Father in the back of my mind. I'll multitask. But it says that when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. You know what's beautiful about this passage? It's not only telling us what we should do and how we should follow Moses' steps. It tells us what made God choose St. Mary in the beginning. From the very beginning, if God wanted to, he could have chosen any girl. Any girl. If God was interested in forcing any young woman to be the one that would bear him, he would have snapped his fingers. The first daughter of Adam and Eve would have been the Theotokos. But is God interested in doing that? Is God interested in forcing people into a position of grace where they will be saints غَصْبٍ عَنُّهُمْ, where they will obey him and love him and be humble towards him because he's forced his grace on them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In another Theotokia, when we speak of St. Mary, what do we say? The Father looked down from heaven and he saw no one like you. He looked at all of the women of humanity, all of the women in human history, and no one was like you. Because Mary, from her young age, she also turned aside and looked at God. Before the Lord revealed to her that she was chosen, she had already given her heart to him. When her parents died and she was young and she entered into the temple, when Joachim and Anna prayed for her to be the miracle that they wanted, and even though the both of them died and she's very young and she enters into the temple, she devotes her heart to God long before she knows that she will one day be called the Theotokos. Because she also stopped, turned aside, and looked to Him. Moses doesn't know it, but Moses is showing us the pattern that even St. Mary would follow. But in this story, St. Mary isn't just the one who turns aside and looks at God. She is also the bush. So God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." I want you to pay attention to why it is that we say that Saint Mary truly is the burning bush. What's interesting about the bush? The bush in the situation that we are describing is supposed to be something that cannot withstand fire. That if you place these two things together, the nature of the bush and the nature of the fire are not compatible. If they are going to coexist, the fire will consume the nature of the tree, the nature of the bush. They should not be able to coexist together. And yet somehow, Moses not only sees this great sight, but he has to try to understand, how does this mystery exist? How is the bush capable of containing the fire, and the fire is not containing the bush? The fire is not consuming the bush. Why is this so special about St. Mary? How can a young girl have it within her to be able to contain the very essence of God's divinity? How can it be that the womb of a young woman is capable of containing Him who the universe cannot contain? The one who gave her life is willing to receive His human life from her. The one who is outside of time is willing to enter into time through her. The one who feeds all of creation is willing to be nursed at her breasts and call her his mother. Tabhau. The question of how will not be answered rationally, because it is completely irrational. What do I mean by irrational? It cannot fit into the mind. It must be a mystery. The same way that the fire is supposed to consume the bush, the moment she came close to the essence of God, Him who is divine, she should have been consumed. Do you remember, let's go back to Moses. Do you remember the conversation between Moses and God? When Moses now, who has become a friend of God, tells Him, "Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you." What does God answer Moses? "You cannot behold my face and live. For no one can see God and live." No one. And out of his love for Moses, he tells him what? "Moses, Habibi, you can't handle me. Because I am a consuming fire. If you were to see me in my essence, you would die. You would end. You would be undone. You cannot have life and enter into the presence of Him who is life. You can't, Moses." So he tells Moses, out of the love for him, to "Moses, turn your face away from me, and I will pass behind you. I will pass behind you." Why does he tell this to Moses? Because he is afraid for Moses. Moses, who could not behold God, who hid his face away from Him, when God passed behind him, Moses came down from the mountain and his face was brighter than the sun. His face was shining so much that the people were afraid of Moses. Moses had to hide his face. Why? Because because he just entered into the presence of God, and he didn't even receive God fully. That if people were afraid of Moses, when he didn't even make eye contact with God, that he did not become one with God, that he could not endure the presence of God, what are we supposed to say about the little girl who was capable of receiving him who is the incarnate Word of God? Habibi, this has to be clear. The same Word of God that we speak of in the Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word, the eternal Word of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, he enters into perfect union with the Holy Virgin Mother and enters into her womb. And she's not consumed. And she doesn't burn. The mystery that we see in the bush, we see in her person. This is why the Theotokia says what? The bush which Moses has seen in the wilderness and the fire that was in it did not burn its branches, for it is a symbol of Mary, the undefiled virgin, which the Word of the Father came and took flesh from her. When we speak of the Holy Mother, we're not just talking about her as if she was just like any other pious woman. Some people make the mistake of thinking, nihna, we celebrate Saint Mary because she's Jesus' mom. يعني بمعنى كده اللي هو إيه علشان أنا بحب فلان أكيد هتعامل مع مامته بمحبة. That's ridiculous. That's not what we're doing with Saint Mary. We're not saying telling Saint Mary طب إحنا يعني we're going to be nice to you علشان بس أنت إيه أنت تبع المخلص. That's not what we're doing. We're doing this because he looked down from heaven and he saw no one like her. When humanity looks at every human being who was ever born. He's right here. Saint John the Baptist. What do we say about Saint John? Among those born of women, no one is who? No one is greater than Saint John. I want to be clear. This is true. As long as we understand that Saint Mary is a very different category. Saint Mary is not counted in this equation. She is not. She is not. This is why the church gives her the title of what? The pride of the human race. Meaning what? If we could pick one human being to be the ambassador of humanity, to be the one that lifts us up and honors humanity, the one that represents us before God, she is our pride. She is the one we pick. She is the one that we say, if you're going to see humanity in its most beautiful form, the one who we are most proud of, we don't send John. We do not send John. طبعاً يعني على رأسي من فوق and Saint John the Baptist, there is no one like him, sure. But Saint Mary is on a whole different category. Saint Mary is a very different category. This is why we call her the pride of the human race. This is why the Lord reveals to the church and says, among all of those that I've looked at, no one is like her. This is why she's the burning bush. Only she could withstand what I did with her. And Saint Mary doesn't even know it or understand it. Saint Mary doesn't understand fully how it is that he chose her, which makes her the very reason why the Lord chooses her. Because when she speaks of herself after finding out that she is going to be the mother of God, what does she say? I'm a maidservant. I'm a maidservant. And a khaddama. Whatever he wants. Let it be to me according to your word. مش هو عايز كده؟ خلاص. اللي هو عايزه. Whatever he wants. طب انتي, do you want to know the details of the contract? No. طب would you like to know يعني
اللي هيحصل الخطوات اللي جايه
نو
اصل انت يعني بصراحه انت هتتبهدلي انت you're going to become pregnant and then Joseph is going to have to run away and you're going to be pregnant on a donkey and we're going to have to take you to Bethlehem and then after you give birth surrounded by animals after that we're going to have to take you and you're going to have to run away you're going to have to be a refugee who goes to Egypt yes we're going to send you to Egypt the place where every Jewish person wants to escape we're going to send you there the place where God saved his people from slavery we're going to send you there and you and your husband and your son are going to have to escape and hide and مش عايز اعرف اي تفاصيل I am the maid servant of the Lord مش شايفه نفسها خالص This is what makes her the perfect choice to become the burning bush. The one whom the Father looked down from heaven and saw no one like her. This is why when the church is speaking of Saint Mary, what do we say? The fire of his divinity did not burn the womb of the virgin. And after she gave birth to him, she remained exactly who she always was. Habibi, think about this for just a second. Taban, there is the biological understanding of virginity. And the church has a great deal to explain about the theology of why she remained a virgin. And we can explain the prophecies of why, physiologically, she had to remain a virgin. But to think about this for just a second. Even after she gave birth to him, he wanted to change nothing about her. Who you were before you gave birth to me is exactly who you are going to continue to be and who I want you to be after you give birth to me. Even your virginity will remain consistent. Exactly who you are is who I want you to be. Either. When we look at the Holy Virgin Mother, we're not just pointing at symbolism that is cute and fancy and theological and romantic. And we're supposed to understand what it means for us to be fully human. What it means for us to look at her and to tell her, inspire us. We want to be like you. We want God to look down from heaven and to be pleased with us the same way he was pleased with you. We also want to become what? Bearers of God. You know what's interesting? The word Theotokos doesn't actually mean mother of God. It means the one who bears God, the one who carries God. But Saban, whenever we use the language of bearing a child or carrying a child, that language is always applied to a mother. But the church has always called her the mother of God. But you and I can also become God bearers. You and I are actually meant to become carriers of Christ. So that when we are told the good news, that you have received the Holy Spirit, that Abuna, when he baptized you, after he baptized you, and after you came out of that water, the first thing the church has done is chrismate you 36 times. Habibi, the most sacred thing in the church today, the most sacred thing in the church today is not the altar. It's the human being. The church spends more time consecrating you 36 times than it does consecrating the altar. When our father, the bishop, or when our father, the patriarch, when His Holiness Pope Shenouda III entered into this church and consecrated this altar, you think this altar is holier than the children of God who were chrismated 36 times and that Abuna takes and blows into their face and says, receive the Holy Spirit. We are not meant just to become temples in the sense where we carry the Holy Spirit. We are called to look at the Holy Virgin Mother and say, God wants me to be like you. God wants me to carry him in me the way that you carried him. And he desires for me to learn from your example, to be fully consecrated, so that when he looks at you and he looks at me, he's happy with the both of us in the same way. How does the Theotokia end? He did not cease to be divine. He came and he became the Son of Man. For he is the true God who came and saved us. Who is it that she carries? Who is it that spoke to Moses in the bush?
Who is it that desires to be one with us every time we participate in any of the mysteries, every time you confess, every time you receive his body and blood, every time you are anointed, every time you renew your baptism, every time you come forward and you pray and you ask him, Lord, that you may abide in me and I in you. What is the Lord desiring? For us to recognize that the one who was in Mary desires to be one with us. The one who burns with fire in the burning bush desires to burn within us, not to consume us and destroy us, but to make the life of the human being a real mystery. A real mystery. You know where you see this? You see this in the saints of the church so beautifully. So beautifully. A person like Baba Krollos. Baba Krollos, towards the end of his life, he was so fatigued and so tired and so sick that his body was failing him. His servants, those who were his deacons, among them Abuna Rafael of Amina, he talks about how it is that Sayyidina could be sitting on a chair asleep because he's so tired. And demon-possessed people would come near him. He's asleep. As he is sleeping, a demon-possessed person would come near him and would be immediately exorcised. Why? Because the fire that is inside him consumes them. It doesn't consume him. When we speak of saints, like Abu Nabshoy Kamil, and how the fire inside him lit a fire in all of Alexandria, in all of the church. When we look at a person like Umine Irini, who was single-handedly responsible for reviving so much of the desire of our young women to consecrate themselves as nuns and as consecrated sisters in the church. The fire inside her lit a fire in so many young women. But what if the Lord desires to also be the fire inside you and me so that we could also light a fire in our homes? So I could light a fire in the lives of my wife, my husband, my children, my brother, my sister, my colleagues, my neighbors. What happens when the human being accepts the calling of recognizing that him who never ceased to be divine wants to enter into relationship with us? Why do we celebrate the Holy Mother? Why do we speak of her in this way? Because you and me are called to look at her, to be inspired by her, and to think, I also want to be a bearer of Christ. I also want this fire inside me. I want people to look at me and to not understand. How does the living God dwell within you? How does the living God speak through you? How does the living God love through you? If we can become more like her, then we will have fulfilled our calling in what it means to be her children and the children of her son. May the Lord grant you and me, through the intercessions of the Holy Theotokos St. Mary, that we can understand her worth, her beauty, and how deeply, deeply we ought to love her, because she is our mother, and how she should inspire us to love her son the way that she does. To God be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.